doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And they will win a playoff game. Goff to a knee and to a very important place for him. And yeah, you see a few tears in there for those folks. And Detroit, for the first time in 32 years, your Lions have won a playoff game. Have at it.
Dude, how electric was it out there? I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better. It's everything you dream of and then more. All right, that's outstanding work. I got two game balls. Okay, I'll just say it like this. Right? You're good enough for Detroit.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher, and that, of course, was Lions head coach Dan Campbell in the locker room after the team's first playoff win since 1991.
You're good enough for Stamford, Connecticut, Matthew
Berry.
That's
right.
Thank you very much. There's some questions about that.
You're good enough for America.
Thank you.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm ready to go
Australia,
there.
Australia got rid of me.
Fair enough. I mean, honestly, the bar is sometimes low. I got goosebumps just then.
It was awesome. Yes.
Legit, I hadn't seen that clip before. I literally just watched it live with you guys. I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, sports is, to me, this is going to sound, you know, super Pollyanna-ish, but, like, honestly, that's what sports is, like, about. Like, honestly, like, that is as feel-good a story as it can be. Like, the Detroit Lions fans, what they have been through all these years, Dan Campbell's an easy guy to root for, Jared Goff, a redemption story. Like, you can't write it any better than that. Like, all the jokes about scripting the NFL and everything like that. But, like, literally, like, that's a storybook ending. This is a team that discarded Jared Goff. They sent him off to a team, and he went winless, you know, and all of a sudden, now they host their first playoff game. It's against the Rams. It's against the quarterback that replaced him. It's against the coach that kicked him out. And they come away with a W, and now they're going to host another playoff game against the winner of whoever plays tonight, whoever wins tonight between Tampa Bay and Philadelphia. Awesome story for the Lions, for Dan Campbell, for Jared Goff, for everyone. I am thrilled for everyone out there. By the way, the Lions drink free, by the way. Detroit fans.
Detroit, all of Detroit.
Detroit, everyone in Detroit drinks free today at the happy hour.
Yeah, when Goff turned around after the first kneel and put his arms out, and you could just tell that the weight was lifted,
right?
And that this obviously meant so much to him. And I think back to when the Lions beat Minnesota at the buzzer, I think a couple of years ago, it was their first win in forever, and just like the exhale for the franchise. And I think Dan Campbell might have been in tears, and I mean, yeah, an incredible moment, and couldn't feel happier for them.
Yeah, it's everything him and Brad Holmes have been building, and on top of that, Jared Goff, when they traded for him in the Matthew Stafford trade, was almost an afterthought, and now he wins their first playoff game since 1991.
The idea at the time was, I mean, I literally believe the Rams gave up a first-round pick to the Lions to take him off their hands.
Right.
Like, it was just basically, oh, he's got this big contract, you know, take him off our hands. And the thought was, like, all right, Goff will just sort of be there for a year, and then they're going to draft. They'll have a pick next year. They'll draft. And somebody that was just sort of just to be a caretaker, if you will, and just kind of like mind the store until they could get their quote quarterback of the future, has become their quarterback of the future. I think people forget this is somebody that was drafted number one overall.
A huge trade up.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, like
big deal.
It's not like he's some obscure guy that came out of nowhere. And the other thing I want to say is, as great as a feel good story as this is, and you're like Cinderella story and all that, the fact of the matter is like it's legit. Like, I mean, they have playmakers on both sides of the ball. Hutchinson is unbelievable. Yes. Like, yes, you know, the credit to future Commanders head coach Ben Johnson for calling a great game script as well.
Yep.
You know, look, I'm just, you know, Amon Ross St. Brown, you know, was amazing. Josh Reynolds' revenge game. No one talks about that.
Right.
No one wants to talk about Josh Reynolds' revenge game.
Like, he was always open.
Oh, no.
Always unbelievable. Open. Jared Goff couldn't miss in this game. He was 22 of 27, 277 yards and a touchdown. We got to hear from Goff after the game, just on the emotions of the win.
Yeah, it was. It was surreal. You know, it was something that you kind of imagined for so long. From the moment I got here, you imagined getting that playoff win and having this type of atmosphere in front of our home crowd and being able to sit on the ball like that and finish it out. And it kind of all hit me there. And to be honest with you, I didn't know it was over once we got the first down and until they sent in the personnel, and it kind of all hit me at once. But kind of had to subdue a lot of emotions this week and was able to kind of enjoy that moment.
Awesome. As we look at the numbers here, obviously a huge game for Stafford as well. 367 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns. But on the backs of Goff and, of course, ride or die, Matthew, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Lions offense does enough to get this one done.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, we thought Stafford would have a good game against this Lions secondary. Like, the Rams have nothing to hang their head about, right? I mean, they had a great game. We'll get into the Rams performance. But just the Lions defense did just enough. I mean, listen, the under hit. People thought there was going to be a shootout. Right. The under hit in this game. So credit the Lions defense, who got a lot of stops, especially in the red zone when they needed to. And Goff played really well, especially in the first half. Amon-Ra St. Brown at home is just money in the bank. Like, my parlay last night included, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And he easily helped me cash that.
Yes, he did. And that wasn't the only thing, of course, that came along with the parlay, the cash. Take a listen if you missed it on Sunday Night Football.
I'm starting with Matthew Stafford and his return to Detroit. Listen, he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in 5 of his last 6 games, so I like him to do at least 2 tonight. Remember, the Lions secondary has really struggled recently. Everyone's talking about Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, so of course I'm talking about DeMarcus Robinson. Listen, no team in the NFL runs more 3 wide receiver sets than the Rams. Robinson's out there a ton, and oh, by the way, he's beaten his receiving number in each of his last 5 full games. And finally, it's Detroit. You knew I had to go with my ride or die. Amon-Ra St. Brown. At home this year, he has averaged 105 receiving yards per game. So I'm taking an alt line here. Give me the over on 80. I think that's easy.
So all of those hit, you know, DeMarcus Robinson hit by half a yard. You know, never in doubt. Never in doubt.
Counts the same.
Never in doubt. Well, like, it all cashes. I was just going to say it was driving me crazy because, like, I didn't have time to get into the stat, but one stat I wanted to use, but just, again, like, I have, like, a minute to do, like, three different players on TV, but no team in the NFL gives up more long receptions and long, than the Detroit Lions, and Robinson is, in essence, their deep threat. And so, like, you know, I looked at his longest reception prop as well. That was one that I was considering, ultimately didn't go there, but like, they took a bunch of shots to Robinson, and, like, they just missed. Like, he sort of misjudged it one, and, like, Stafford overthrew him, to the side, another one. I'm just like, but then, he ends up getting it, cashing it. It's awesome.
Yeah, would have been pretty long odds that Cooper Kupp was going to be 6th on the Rams in receiving, and it felt like outside of just the relentless fades to Kupp in the end zone, which never worked, he just didn't really get a look. So it was a strange, strange season for Cooper Kupp, but it looks healthy, looks fine.
Yeah,
it's just Puka Nacua really supplanted him at the end of the year.
It looked like to me, I haven't charted this yet, but it looked like to me that Kupp was playing more outside and they were using Nacua more inside. And that's where the Lions really struggle, is more on the inside and the interior and dealing with slot receivers. So I also think, by the way, Aaron Glenn was probably like, it's the playoffs, I'm taking care of Cooper Kupp. And then just, Stafford, to his credit, was just like, oh, who's open? 17's open. Let me just keep feeding him.
Yeah. It's going to get a little lost in the wash now, but Stafford was ridiculous last night.
Yes, he
Some
was.
Of these Mahomesian throws, which are really Staffordian throws. Like, he's
right.
The one who's been doing it first. Yeah. He might just be the 5th best quarterback in football, honestly. Like, he is unbelievable. And the fact that he was taking those hits, and I'm pretty sure he got concussed, and he still came back in and did what he did. I mean, look, the Lions deserve the victory, but Matthew Stafford deserved the victory there, too.
Yeah, he has nothing to hang its head about.
Yep.
I mean, an absolute star born this year in Puka Nacua, and it of course, the season ends for him by him setting the rookie record for most receiving yards in a playoff game. After the game, Sean McVay said, this guy's a freaking warrior. He is a stud. I love the mindset and mentality that he has. If he just continues to stay humble and keep working, this guy's going to be a problem for a long time.
And by the way, next year, that's heading into next fantasy football season, that's going to be a big debate. Kupp or Nacua? Who do you draft higher? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be People are gonna remember this playoff game and want to go with Nacua, but you know, Cup is Cooper Kupp,
right?
And so, but I think both guys are easy top 20 wide receivers next year, and I think you can make an argument for both of them inside the top 10. Probably not Kupp just because of the inconsistency and the injury issues, but I think, you know, both guys are going to be fantasy stars next year. Puka Nacua, it's crazy. Like, I'm paraphrasing J.J. Watt's tweet. I don't know if you guys saw this, but J.J. Watt put out something to the extent of basically, C.J. Stroud's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he should be. But it's a shame that his rookie year is the same one as Puka Nacua, because what Nacua is doing is unbelievable, and that should be awarded somehow. Again, I'm totally butchering it, but that was the general gist of his tweet, and he's 100% right.
Yeah, I mean, Puka Nacua would have won, surely, Offensive Rookie of the Year like 19 of the past 20 seasons.
Right.
Just he came up against the greatest rookie season ever by a quarterback in C.J. Stroud. So, I mean, it's tough for Nacua, but yeah, he was amazing. It's the stuff after the catch as well with him. And Collinsworth did a really good job on the broadcast of breaking that down. Just like, this guy doesn't look that big. Like, he shouldn't be able to wear this contact and just push through. But guys just bounce off of him. So, incredible season for him. And I'm glad that he was able to do that on the biggest stage.
Of course, a lot of the storylines around Matthew Stafford, who we talked about, had such a great night. The Rams still end up coming up short. Stafford spoke after the game, and if you saw before the game how heavily he was booed, of course, the Rams were booed by the home Lions crowd. So we got to hear from Stafford on if he was happy for the city of Detroit.
Sean McVay was up here. He said that he was happy for Jared Goff and whatnot. Through their time together, you've been here in Detroit for your first 12 seasons. Just how do you feel about the city of Detroit?
I'm happy for the players. Happy for those guys. It was a playoff game. You know, I'm not surprised that they were excited about cheering for their team. And I'm not too worried about, you know, anybody's personal feelings towards me that was sitting in the stands.
What do you guys think of that? I thought it was a little over the top.
Ah,
but
I'm
it
okay
is a playoff it. Game.
I'm
it
okay
is fans.
It. I'll tell you what. Look, first, a couple things here. Matthew Stafford's an awesome human being.
Right.
Matthew and his wife Kelly have done a lot of different things for the city of Detroit. It's an awesome couple. He is an awesome human being. Just full stop. And I think he gave a lot to the city of Detroit when he was there. And I think he has continued to try to honor that city in his own way as the starting quarterback of the LA Rams. So, like, I think that if you were to talk to a Lions fan, they would say that. Like, they're appreciative, or they should be, of all the years that Stafford gave them, that he gutted it out for so many years there. Having said that, yeah, man, he's the starting quarterback of the Rams. Like, you know, and like,
yeah. A lot of people flipping him off, though, in the stands.
That was a bit
okay, boo, form. Yell, you pay the ticket. You actually do whatever you want. I don't really care that much. But I was a little shocked for how long he was there.
Yeah, it's not quite booing the dead Jerry Krause at the Bulls game. It's not quite that bad.
That was the worst moment of the week.
That was
awful. But yeah. It was a little bit. And with Stafford as well, I think the thing is that, like, he's just lost the playoff game. He's just been concussed. Like, he's just been absolutely battered. He's allowed to say whatever he wants in the press conference, but it was a little bit poor.
It's a little bit of poor form, but I also, like, the Lions were so into it. It was their, you know, that kind of thing. And here comes, it's a little bit like this, you know what I mean? It's like, imagine, like, if you're Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend, right? You're like, you know, like, okay, whatever. You know, Travis and I, we had a good time together, whatever. Now he's going off. I wish him well. And then he shows back up with Taylor Swift, and you're like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
So it's a little bit like, you know, me and Stafford, you know, like, we went. Now he shows up, oh, Super Bowl champion. You're there with Sean McVay.
Los Angeles weather.
What, you know, like, that's fair. Screw you, buddy.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
You know, just imagine, you know.
That's fair. And look, in this game, no one deserved to lose, but I thought that the one moment where you maybe deserve to lose is McVay has to go for that on 4th and 14. You have to go for that, because the thing is that Detroit aren't playing to score. They're playing to get 2 first downs. If they get 1 first down, they're not even in field goal range at that point. So, like, what's the downside? You've just basically given the chance to have the ball away for, what, 27 yards of field position. In a game, the field position is no longer relevant because they're not trying to score. That was disappointing. And the thing, I think, you can make the case that Shanahan, Reid, and McVay are the 3 best coaches in the NFL. They might be the 3 worst at these 4th down decisions. It's unbelievable that they keep messing this up, particularly when you think that they have Mahomes, everything in San Francisco's offense, and Stafford. That was a strange way for the game to end. But good for Jared Goff that he was able to complete the pass at the end to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It was an awesome game. I will say this. You know, the officiating drives me crazy.
Like, it was a clear hold on Nacua.
There was some really bad call. It was that was, listen, I was rooting for the Lions, just not only for the story, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, my ride or die, and I had picked the Lions on air. You know, we'd been the Football Night in America crew, we were all fairly split, but I picked the Lions to win and the under. We have to give the score, you know, basically. So I in essence, with my score prediction, took the under. So I was rooting for the Lions to win and the under to hit with my pick there. But even I'm, who's, you know, was full on Lion homer last night, is like, come on. Like, they're grabbing the kid's jersey. Like, I mean, that was pass interference.
They just missed it.
They just missed it. And by the way, in the first half, that offsides false start missed call, which would have kept the Lions drive alive, and they probably kick a field goal. If they get some points, you know, whether they score a touchdown, it would have been first and 10 in positive territory. So just there was just some brutally bad missed calls on both sides of the ball, which is you hate to see a game like that marred by that.
Away from this game, but in some other L.A. news, Tom Pelissero from NFL Network said Jim Harbaugh will be in Los Angeles today to meet with the Chargers about their head coaching job. Obviously, a lot of people thinking Harbaugh could come back to the NFL after a championship season. Those fans in Michigan are living right now. A championship with Michigan, the Lions move on in the playoffs. Good for them. It's been a long time coming. Here are the odds for Jim Harbaugh landing spots. The Chargers are the favorites at plus 150. Not a head coach in the NFL is the runner-up at plus 250. I think he's coming back to the NFL, guys. And then the Panthers and the Bears, super long shots
Can I tell you something? Like, so last night on the Peacock postgame show, we talked about this. We talked about sort of where certain coaches might go, where Vrabel might go, where Belichick, where Harbaugh, et cetera, and so, you know, Chargers were brought up as well. Jason Garrett said, I actually think he goes back to Michigan. You know, I came up with I have an oddball one. Hear me out. Tell me what you think, if this is a crazy idea or not.
Don't say Washington Commanders.
I'm not going to say Washington Commanders.
Okay, thank
no,
God.
I think we're getting
God.
Ben Johnson. That's legitimately what I think.
I would agree with you.
I think we're getting Ben Johnson.
A lot of momentum around that.
I think there's a chance at Bobby Slowick, given that Adam Peters, the new, you know, and how well the Texans have played, and Slowick, they know each other from San Francisco. I think there's a chance at Slowick. Belichick, I think, is still in the mix. But if I had to place a bet on Commanders, I think it's Ben Johnson whenever the Lions run is done. But here's what I'll say about Jim Harbaugh. This is, again, I got no inside sources on this. It's just me trying to read some tea leaves here. For Jim Harbaugh to leave Michigan, it's a great situation, right? He can walk on water there. He's won the national title. He's well paid. They're going to back up the Brinks truck. All those Michigan donors, that, you know, it's a very well-endowed school. They're going to back up the Brinks truck and make Jim Harbaugh an insanely rich man to try to leave. So the only reason for him to leave is two things. Number one is he wants to leave for a good NFL situation. If he leaves for an NFL situation, I think it has to have two things. Number one is it's got to be a situation where he can win, right? Like, he's not going to Carolina or Atlanta, I think, or Chicago, where it might be tough for him to win immediately, right? They don't have a quarterback there. I think they have a quarterback in Chicago, but you know what I mean. Like, Atlanta and Carolina, okay. So I think he has to have a quarterback where he can win, which makes sense with the Chargers, okay, Justin Herbert. But the other thing here is that, again, he needs to make a lot of money, because Michigan's going to say, like, I'm making up a number, but here's $30 million a year or whatever. Here's $12 million a year. Some insane number for a college head coach. And so for him, traditionally, and we'll see if this changes, but traditionally throughout the Spanos family, who owned the Chargers, have not been one of the more generous families in the NFL.
That's right.
They have not been a team that has spent a lot of money relative to other teams in the NFL. And I know everyone wants to put Belichick on the Dallas Cowboys. But if I'm Jerry Jones, I don't move on from Mike McCarthy. And you know me, I'm not a Mike McCarthy fan. But he's had 12 win seasons, 3 straight years. You don't move on from Mike McCarthy unless you're bringing in a big-name coach. You're not moving McCarthy off for, like, some hot coordinator. You're not.
Right.
Which is why the Belichick news, the rumors make sense. But what about Jim Harbaugh in Dallas? He's a big name. Jerry can afford whatever. And I think there's a school of thought, and Coach Garrett, who knows Jerry Jones as well as anyone on the planet, Coach Garrett said both on halftime last night on Football Night in America and during the game and Football Night in America, and then in the postgame show, again, he just said, like, Belichick and Jerry Jones have tremendous respect for each other. They have a long-standing friendship. They really, but just in terms of how Jerry likes to run a football team and how Bill likes to run a football team. And by the way, Jason Garrett and Bill Belichick have a relationship as well. They're friends. They've known each other forever. It's just they're very different in terms of their approaches to running a team. And Jason was like, I'm not sure. They love each other. You know, that Belichick and Jones have a lot of mutual admiration for each other, but he's just like, I'm not sure I see that. And so, anyway, that's my wild, out of nowhere, I got no inside information, but just trying to read the tea leaves. That's my, you know, long shot prediction, Harbaugh to the Cowboys.
Yeah, got a little nervous when you said well endowed, but glad you took it in that direction. So we look at Bill Belichick's odds provided by DraftKings Sportsbook for his landing spots. So, this one's a bit more wide open, Connor.
Yeah, so any other NFL team is the favorite at plus 125 because that includes the Cowboys. Keep that in mind. So you're just getting a little extra if there was some wild, you know, surprise here. Not a head coach in the NFL is the runner-up at plus 175. The Falcons is my favorite one, personally, guys, at plus 275. I've heard a lot building around this one for a while. I agree with you, Matthew, as we see the Commanders at plus 900. I think that's leaning towards one of the hot offensive coordinators. I would put Ben Johnson as the favorite. I would agree with you. I'd put Slowick as the runner-up. And then the Chargers, this is something I've said for 2 months now, and you just reiterated that as well. Like if the Chargers don't pay coaches, Bill Belichick's salary, which we don't know because we don't know NFL coaches, but we know it's a lot of money, are the Chargers paying what you need to get Bill Belichick? I mean, he's the highest-paid head coach in the league. Like that one doesn't check out. That's why it's plus 1,200.
Yeah, you know, and it's weird because there's a lot that makes sense for him. Like, I mean, like, you know, they have players on defense. You know, they got Joey Bosa. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they've got real playmakers on defense, and they've got a quarterback.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, so it's like it's one of the best head coaching jobs. It's probably the most, I think, unless if Dallas comes open, Dallas is the best job. But, like, at the moment, of the jobs that are actually open, the Chargers are, I think, the most desirable landing spot from a roster perspective. I would argue the Commanders are next, just again because they have $80 million in cap space. They have the number 2 overall pick. They have 5 picks in the top 100, and they have legit players on both sides of the ball. They have some holes, but like, you know, they have an ownership. They have a new ownership group that's going to be willing to spend money.
Yeah, and it's like the Lions where you build it the way you want. So you're going to be able to draft a quarterback, which is actually different, but you're going to be able to build it the way you want. That's what makes the Commanders attractive, and Adam Peters is really highly respected.
Highly respected as well. I was talking with Peter King, you know, our friend and colleague Peter King was out there at the game in Houston as well. And I asked him because, you know, Peter knows everyone in the NFL. And I said, what do you think of Adam Peters? What are we getting here? And he just says, like, this guy is great. Everyone in the league loves him. He's been a candidate for it. He goes, and I actually sat, you know, Peter wrote about this for his column. I sat in the 49ers draft room a couple of years ago. He goes, every single pick, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are huddling with Adam Peters, you know, like meaning like it's not like those two. It was just Adam Peters was a part of the process. Yep. They clearly respected
his opinion. He was the real scout in that building.
Yeah.
I mean, John Lynch came from TV, not saying he doesn't know football personnel, but Peters was the real scout in that building for a long, long time. All right, let's get to our next game here, Miami at Kansas City.
What do you think of my Harbaugh to Cowboys? Crazy idea.
I don't mind, but does he want more control, like similar to Belichick, where he's only going to take the operation where he can run it entirely himself? I mean, maybe not. I'm not too sure, but that would be the pushback.
That'll be an interesting combo.
Again, if Spanos isn't going to pay, I get it, but Herbert is the one guy that you would want from everyone.
Yeah, of course.
And it is a circus in Dallas, but I mean, it gives him the best chance to win.
It's a great defense. It's you've got playmakers both sides of the ball. You've got a quarterback in Dak Prescott. We'll talk about that game, but like. You've got a quarterback.
Yes.
You legit have a quarterback.
Yeah, the guy's going to come third in MVP or something. Yeah,
come on.
The New Age Ice Bowl, the Dolphins lose at Kansas City. The Chiefs 12-3 in the postseason under Patrick Mahomes. They are 10-2 at Arrowhead, Jay. I mean, the bottom line is it's just a rarity when Mahomes loses in the playoffs, but especially at home.
Yeah. I like the Dolphins +4.5 in this game. And now, to be fair, the bet lost, but it should have lost by a lot more. They were very lucky to only lose this game by the margin. This could have been a 35-point loss, really. And I think it just underscored, which we may have gotten away from a little bit during the season, Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL. And I think by margin, he was magnificent in this game, even if the stats didn't fully recognize that, but he came through. He's just immune to the elements. He showed his scrambling again. Look, he only goes 200 to 262 and one touchdown, 23 of 41. But given the conditions and given what Tua looked like on the other side, I thought Mahomes was excellent in this one.
Kelce had some bad drops too. Again, it's freezing there. I mean, like you'd see these viral videos of people like opening waters or beers, and the liquid would immediately freeze.
Look at Mahomes' helmet.
Right. I mean,
exploded.
I mean, it's sort of crazy there. They couldn't do anything. What was insane to me, insane is the wrong word. What was surprising to me is that Andy Reid's offense didn't look anything like an Andy Reid offense. They did what they should do in the playoffs based on what this team has done all year. They played good defense and they ran the ball.
Yep.
Pacheco was awesome, as always. Again, that was one of the prop bets that we talked about, and that cashed and
easily.
And it was nice to see, just like we saw Puka Nacua in the Lions game, nice to see Rashee Rice, you know, when it matters the most, step up. Like, by the way, I'm going to say this right now. I've just thought about this. I don't know. I'm not there yet, but like, as I start thinking about my ride or die for next year, Rashee Rice is going to be on the list.
Yeah. No, he should be.
He's going to be on the, receiving votes consideration list, right? Again, 90 receiving yards in three of the past four games, 125 in back-to-back. You know, he's doing it all, and obviously you have the trust of 15. Mahomes was like, all right, I'm not going to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I'm not screwing around with any of this anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mecole Hardman.
And the thing is, like, these catches aren't easy. They look easy to make, but they're not because of the conditions. And you could see, like, Travis Kelce dropped multiple balls.
Yeah.
Like, these weren't easy balls to catch, and Rashee Rice just had glue on his hands.
He's basically throwing an oblong brick.
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, that's, in all seriousness, that's what it is. I mean, it's like a freezing cold brick as well. You see Pacheco there with a one reception for minus 1 yard. They didn't really involve him in the passing game here. But, kind of vintage Travis Kelce here. Rashee Rice goes off. And Pacheco, this is what their offense has become. It's these three guys. They've stopped screwing around trying to distribute the ball, which is what he was trying to do last year, what he was trying to do earlier in the year. They're like, no, I'm sorry, any of these other guys.
Democracy has needed to go out the door in that offense for a while.
Right.
And now we finally have the dictatorship of Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Isaiah Pacheco. And Kelce, I mean, he was 7 for 71 in those conditions. Is good. He still doesn't look close to himself.
No.
He doesn't look anything like himself. That would be the concern for the Chiefs, who likely will go to Buffalo next week. And if that is the case, they're going to need more closer to peak Travis Kelce.
They certainly are, because that'll be another cold weather game. Other side of the ball here, I want to talk about Miami. I want to give, like, everyone's going to talk about Mahomes because he's Mahomes, right? And, you know, Andy Reid, the frozen mustache, you know, you're going to see all that. Okay, fine. But I think the defense of the Chiefs played unbelievable here, as they have all year. And L'Jarius Sneed, and along with Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, came up with a great game plan for Tyreek Hill. Like, they shut him down. And I think that I'm a Mike McDaniel fan. I'm a fan. But he got out-coached in this game.
Oh, yeah. They didn't look prepared.
Yeah. Also, a year after, he couldn't get the plays into Skylar Thompson in time in the Buffalo game. Like, that was a complete mess last year. Now, this year, and here's the problem, too, with Tua and this offense. Like, you can say, all right, it's an ice ball. It was kind of an outlier. Like, I'm sorry, but Mike McDaniel and Tua, they play in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. It gets cold in those places in the playoffs. Like, they're going to have to learn how to play in these games, and they look totally unready for it on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't blame the defense. I thought the Dolphins' defense, all things considered, played pretty well. Like, to your point, it could have been much worse. Like,
yeah.
I think they were sort of gutty. They were missing five starters. Two of their key backups were out. I mean, they were just decimated on the defensive side of the ball. And then you look at the offensive side of the ball, and look, Waddle not 100%, Mostert not 100%. I get that Tyreek Hill dealt with injuries down the stretch as well. But still, like, they just couldn't get anything going. The run game was non-existent here. Devon Achan couldn't do anything at all. The Miami Dolphins line got dominated here. Tyreek Hill had the one sort of broken play for the touchdown. But other than that, four passes for 9 yards. They bottled him up. Like, you've got to figure out a way to scheme him open. And so, when you're sitting there going like, it's a first down at River Craycraft. Like, that's when blank has gone wrong.
Yep. Yeah, and this is something where I think it was the same in the Dallas game, which we'll get to, but when you're down by this much, as Miami were, stop trying to throw 7-yard passes. Like, these passes need to be on 25 yards in the air downfield. You're down by so much. You need, even if Tyreek Hill's not open, you still need to, you need a pass interference call. You need the chance of being able to score quickly. And it just seemed like they never fired a shot at all. And it wasn't so much the defense, to your point. I think the Fangio had the right idea with just cover zero, just like, let's create some variance on defense. It's just the offense, outside of one terribly underthrown ball that resulted in a touchdown, they just did absolutely nothing.
And I think that's why all the conversation right now is around Tua. And, of course, we got to hear from Tua on all these struggles after the very disappointing end to the Dolphins season.
We didn't come together the way we wanted to offensively. It showed tonight. And, you know, as the leader of that offense, I mean, it really started with practices. So, you know, that's how we should have got things going, was in practice with the communication, with knowing where we should be going in this loud environment. And then those miscues lead to delay of games. Those miscues lead to, okay, we can't change the protection. We don't have enough time, things like that. So it was just communication errors.
Felt like more than that, honestly, with Tua. I think just physically, it's Mahomes. That's not fair. But you brought up, Jay, it's not just Mahomes. Look at the quarterbacks in this conference, and then look at the limitations we saw in this game from Tua.
Yeah, and look, I mean, mentioning practice, I mean, that's a coaching thing.
Right.
That's a you know, and we talked about this. The other thing about Tua is, like again, I'm not an insider. This is more your area here, but there's a contract decision coming up on
it's
Tua,
massive.
Right? It's massive. And, like, so it's like he's going to want a max deal. He's going to want, like, you know, he's going to want, you know, I've seen people, he's going to want $40 million a year.
Jones got.
Right. Right, exactly. Be like, I'm at least as good as Daniel Jones.
That's where it's all going to start.
Right, and by the way, and so you start thinking about, like, is he worth that kind of money? And, like, I think given the market of the quarterback, he'll get that. He'll get that from somebody. Yeah. But, you know, I get it. There's going to be a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent, I think, of the Jared Goff Rams situation, where I think maybe he's an excellent, really good quarterback. Jared Goff took the Rams to a Super Bowl, but maybe they need to, you know, Kirk Cousins or something, maybe with a higher ceiling.
All right,
weird to say about Kirk Cousins, but that's where we're at.
That's true. The game you were at, Matthew, Browns-Texans, not much of a game. The Jay, you've been saying for about 3 weeks, I feel like, it felt like the Joe Flacco situation became a little bit of a ticking time bomb, and boy, did it all burst against the Texans defense.
Here's the thing with Flacco is that he's been this guy all along.
Yes.
Like, he's been this guy from the time. Like, he threw 8 picks in 5 regular season games. And basically, he was putting up, I would say, average quarterback play. It's just that every play was like 10 out of 10 or 0 out of 10.
Right.
We just got a couple of 0 out of 10s at the wrong time that sunk this game.
My same game parlay for that game, which for the Texans Brown game, which also cashed, one of my legs was Joe Flacco to throw an interception.
No.
You know what I mean? I was just like, he's thrown one in every game he started. He has 8 in 5 games, as you will. And in fact, when I made my pick, and most of the guys on the desk took the Browns, I took the Texans, as did Mike Florio. But we both sort of made the same point, which is like, they've turned the ball over a ton and they keep getting away with it. They're not going to get away with it today. Like, at some point, kind of the bill comes due and, you know, Cinderella turns into a pumpkin and all those cliches, but it's true. Like, you can't do that in playoff football. And so I didn't predict 2 pick-sixes.
Right.
But again, I thought he would throw a pick. I threw it into my parlay. And, it, you know, that's not a bet you would normally want in a parlay, is a guy to throw an interception. And yet it did cash.
Right. And on the back of that, when the interceptions weren't returned for a touchdown, C.J. Stroud was making them pay as well. Stroud was magnificent in this game. I mean, 16 to 21, 274 yards, the 3 touchdowns. He was just absolutely phenomenal to his number one wide receiver, Nico Collins, who goes for 96 in a touchdown.
Nico Collins is just ridiculous, right? 3 straight games with 95 or more receiving yards. He scored in 3 of his past 4. Again, we sort of talk about, you know, McDaniel did not call a great game. Bobby Slowick called a great game in this one. Some of the play concepts were unbelievable. And credit to C.J. Stroud, who executed him as well. Like, he's got a guy in the flat on that play right there, and he blows it off to hit Schultz down the field. I mean, like, he was magnificent. I thought, Jay, when we previewed this game last week, I thought you brought up a great point, which is everyone saying, oh, it's a rookie against the number one defense in his first playoff game. And you're like, he's already had a playoff game.
Yeah.
It was, you know, win or go home
against the Colts
the week before, and he was brilliant. And obviously we think the Browns are a better defense than the Colts, but, like, the Browns defense has been better much better at home this year than on the road. Like, they've been bad on the road. And truthfully, if you look at it, like, again, the Browns defense is good, but, like, they beat up on a lot of bad quarterbacks. If you sort of look at all those games, like, they played against some bad quarterbacks and sort of padded their stats a little bit. And so having to go into Houston and play, like, a really good offense, again, and by the way, I mean, like, again, no Tank Dell, right? I mean, it was John Mechie. Brevin Jordan. Like, I mean, it's other than Nico Collins, they don't have much, but Stroud was just so brilliant and no sacks. Yeah. I mean, that offensive line, which has so been maligned all season for the Texans, kept him clean against Myles Garrett and company. Like, it's an awesome story for the Texans as well. My only question for you guys is that who had the more impressive weekend?
No, here we go.
C.J. Stroud.
Or Matthew Berry.
I'm just saying, I hit two parlays. I hit both of Berry's bets.
It's true.
You know, my Berry's bet is 14-7 on the year, Jay.
Yep.
Jay Croucher, you know, two same-game parlays, both cat. I'm just asking.
Yeah, rematch this weekend.
Yeah. Right.
You both have much to play for.
That's exactly. That's,
I mean,
very,
Stroud's
very
the favorite in that market, but yes, it's not minus 1,000.
Right, you know, there
it's
you
like
go.
Minus 150.
Right, sure. That's
no, Stroud's magnificent. I've never seen
jokes aside, Stroud is unbelievable.
Yes. I've never seen anyone throw an easier 40-yard ball than C.J. Stroud just flicks the wrist.
Comfort.
It's absolutely insane. And I think the thing, to your point about Cleveland's defense, is that I think they just reached the point of no return with losing guys off their defense, but we just didn't realize it because they were playing Case Keenum and Trevor Siemian
right
down the stretch. And a reason I like the Texans in this game was just thinking about how, remember that Thursday night game against the Jets, how Trevor Siemian just marched them down the field on that first drive for a touchdown?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think the best pass defense of the past 20 years should be allowing this in any situation. And with Tunsil doing a really good job on Garrett, they just had nothing, and they just seemed like they were out of guys.
So, of course, on the Browns side of it, no questions on who the quarterback is of the future in Houston, as the Texans scored the most points in playoff game in franchise history. But, of course, on the Browns side, they were asked about it. Kevin Stefanski reiterated that Deshaun Watson remains the team's starting quarterback heading into the 2024 offseason. So, the Flacco magical run, guys, it was fun.
It's a great story.
It's a great story.
It's a great story. Good for him.
Off the couch.
Off the couch, one of the good guys in the NFL. But, you know, like, there's also a reason why he was available,
right,
you know, like, again. And so we saw the full Flacco. I don't know that it was fully his fault, you know. I mean, like,
he
again,
did
like,
what he always does. This right is what he's always done. It's just the defense had no answer.
The defense had no answer as well. They couldn't run the ball. Give credit to the Texans. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, I know Kareem Hunt got the two touchdowns, but, like, really, really impressive here. Nico Collins, like, it's going to be hard to figure out how high to draft Nico Collins next year, because I think there's an argument that he's a top 10 wide receiver next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
our final game, maybe the biggest surprise of the entire weekend. My goodness.
Not to me.
The Packers now 6-0 all time at AT&T Stadium, including the playoffs, 5-0 versus Dallas. I mean, the bottom line is Jordan Love was magnificent against a Cowboys defense that was truly lifeless in this game.
Couple things here. So first off, as a Commanders fan, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my two favorite teams are the Washington Commanders and whoever's playing the Cowboys, right? I mean, like, that's just the – right? So, and I love the stat that, you know, to date, the Packers now have more playoff wins at AT&T Stadium than the Cowboys do.
Because of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, facts are facts. I'm sorry. Here's the thing about Dallas. Again, sort of like you talk about defenses being exposed. The Cowboys haven't stopped the run all year long. Like, this is not a new thing. They have been one of the worst teams in the NFL against the run in terms of, on a per-play basis. The problem is that the Cowboys' offense has been rolling so well that teams get down and they abandon the run, and so the counting stats don't look there. But, like, on a per-play basis, the Cowboys are a bottom-five run defense. They haven't been able to stop the run all year long. And so then you sit there and go, like, okay, so they're running the ball well. Aaron Jones played unbelievably well. I love this. One of the reasons I am anti-Mike McCarthy and have been for years and years and years is that when he was the head coach of the Packers, he would never free Aaron Jones. He would never use Aaron Jones in a full-time role. That's where that came from. I mean, that was something that started my old podcast where I started that chant, you know, the free Aaron Jones, and it became a movement. People took to the streets. They made signs, the whole thing, the hashtag free Aaron Jones. But so I do say that there's something really awesome about Aaron Jones, who Mike McCarthy would never use in a full-time role in Green Bay, coming into Dallas and having 21 rushes, 118 yards and 3 touch, you know, having a big full-time workload, 22 overall touches here, and just absolutely crushing the Cowboys as well and exploited that pad, that bad run defense. I also think two other things here. Jordan Love, if it wasn't for C.J. Stroud, all we'd be doing talking about is the brilliance of Jordan Love because he played magnificent in this game here. And I thought this was a masterclass of play calling by Matt LaFleur as well.
Yep. And I think with the Dallas defense, it's pretty simple. They're not very good against the run, but teams haven't been able to run against them because the offense has been so good. And then with their pass D, if Parsons and Lawrence don't get home, then they're just hugely exposed on the back end. And those guys create quick pressure a ton of the time. They have these ball hawks and Bland and Gilmore behind them, but the Packers protected really well. Like, this is an absolute joke.
That's the Luke Musgrave wide open touchdown.
Yep. But Jordan Love was fantastic. And, I mean, two coach openings might have come out of this game. Because I don't think Dan Quinn's getting hired in Seattle or anywhere, really.
Tough to sell that one.
Yeah. Because that was an absolute pantsing. Like, you just got absolutely destroyed by Matt LaFleur.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can talk away a little bit, some of it, because the truth of the matter is so Dak throws a pick six. He throws the first interception. And I'm not the biggest Dak fan, but the first interception, I don't think he can put on Dak. The kid just made a great play. That was just an unbelievable interception.
Alexander one or Savage?
Savage.
Yeah.
I was saying that was just an unbelievable play.
They both were.
Well, they both were, but that was the one I was talking about because that was the one that was in their territory.
Right.
You know, and put them, so all of a sudden the Packers have a short field, and then there's the pick six. You know what I mean? So the offense is putting the defense in a hole. You can't blame sort of those two scores on Dan Quinn.
No, I don't think you can blame on Mike McCarthy either. Like, I don't say this is like, oh, Mike McCarthy's going to go out of this game. Like, I think this is on the defense.
And then
also,
what they did. Yeah.
Dak, here's the thing with Dak. Like, I don't believe that, like, choking is a real thing. It's like, oh, Peyton Manning was a choker until he leads the Colts from 21-3 down against Tom Brady in the AFC title game and then wins the Super Bowl. But, I mean, if there is a guy, like, Dak looked like Sam Darnold on Monday Night Football seeing ghosts in that game. Like, it wasn't so much the picks, it was the picks that should have been caught that weren't. And he was just, it was like the Buffalo game a month ago.
He threw what should have been a pick at the goal line at the end of the first half, too.
He just didn't seem like he was all there. Yeah, and it was the same thing last year against San Francisco. It was the same thing in some big games this year. And it's a shame because I think he's been a top five quarterback in the league this year by any measure that you want it. He's going to get MVP votes. He's not going to win, but I mean, it's kind of sad. I feel bad for the guy because by all accounts he's one of the best people in the NFL,
awesome,
and he had an amazing year.
There's no question about it. He's an awesome human being. It just keeps happening. It's interesting. So Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, has been under fire all year long we were talking about this in the the room where we all watch the games, all the Football Line America crew. We're just talking about the fact that, yes, Joe Barry maybe doesn't have all the weapons that the Cowboys do defensively. But the one thing that's interesting is that Barry comes from a West Coast offense. He's played, he's been a coordinator. He's been on the coaching staff of a lot of West Coast offense type teams. And that's basically what they're running in Dallas. And so even though he may not have the quote talent, he sort of knew what was coming.
Right.
Like, I mean, I thought Joe Barry called a great game as well, just sort of a masterclass in play calling, and good for the Packers. Like, it's a great story. It was one of these things. I'm curious, because you're Mr. Jets, Ms. Aaron Rodgers, what Rodgers might think. Like, why didn't you want to play in this offense, Aaron Rodgers? Why didn't you want to play with these guys? Because Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson,
look good.
Doubs has a huge game. Jaden Reed, who's been so awesome down the stretch, he doesn't really do anything in this game. Whatever, Doubs sort of has his game. Wicks gets the touchdown, but like, there's some players there.
And just, I think LaFleur's coaching is what stands out above all, is that, Rodgers is a guy with a reputation that wants to be the head coach of the offense. LaFleur, with an offensive background, comes over there and wants to do things his way. Obviously, after that game, things are looking really good for LaFleur
He's a made man after that game.
Right, absolutely. All right, let's take a look at the updated playoff bracket
Is Jordan Love a top 10 fantasy quarterback next year?
I think so.
He is. I think he's a top 10 real-life quarterback, too.
That March, I totally agree with. I think there's a strong argument for that. Jordan Love just playing awesome.
All right, as we take a look at the updated playoff bracket, we will get Green Bay against San Francisco. That is going to be excellent. Kyle Shanahan against Joe Barry, of course, his defense. The Lions move on as we see the lowest seed in the AFC will play the Ravens. So obviously if the Steelers pull off the upset against the Bills, they would play Baltimore.
Right. If they lose, then Houston is going to Baltimore, and then it'll be, Lamar Jackson and C.J. Stroud?
That's phenomenal.
I'll watch that.
All right, we're taking our first break. When we're back, we're going to preview tonight's games. Monday Night Football doubleheader coming up right after this.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner, too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Stream one of the most storied rivalries in college basketball. Purdue is number one in the country as they face Indiana in Bloomington. Find out if the Boilermakers can stay on top Tuesday, January 16th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, exclusively and only on Peacock.
That's right. Don't cancel the Peacock subscription.
Keep it, yes. Yeah. You need until the 16th. See, look, you and longer.
You already bought it for the playoff game. Stick around. Yeah. See what else
We have Caitlin Clark on Peacock.
Yeah, come on.
Oppenheimer's coming in February.
Who's better than that? Oppenheimer's
You can
coming.
Rewatch Royal Rumbles from the 90s.
Yeah. New Ted show.
Yeah.
We got that.
Oppenheimer.
Our show is on Peacock.
Yep.
That's right. We didn't even promote ourselves.
That's right.
Interesting idea.
Wow. Yeah, we go with the Oppenheimer, which is minus 200 to win Best Picture, by the way. I think it's home.
Okay.
Yeah, very good film if you haven't watched it.
Let's jump into the doubleheader here. Of course, the Steelers traveling to play in Buffalo. Have you guys seen the pictures this morning of Highmark Stadium? Of basically, the bleachers are not shoveled out yet. The field's good to go. They will play this game in Buffalo. Obviously, the Bills favored by 10 points. The line opened at 43, went all the way down to 35. It currently lands at 38.5 since the game has moved and the weather is expected to be better. Not great, but
like
better. That. How about some notable daily plays here, Matthew, in this very offensively lacking matchup?
Well, right, and that's where you start is the defense, right? So if you're playing daily fantasy on DraftKings, you see there both the Bills at 3,500 and the Steelers at 2,600. Josh Allen is no stranger. Josh Allen is like, you know, has some Joe Flacco to him. He has some brilliance to him.
Yeah.
He also has got a little bit of Joe Flacco to him as well. And so the Steelers, you know, Bills had the seventh most turnovers during the regular season. Buffalo, by the way, fourth most sacks of the season. Their 10th in pressure rate. Pittsburgh's team total is 14 points. Yeah. It's Mason Rudolph in the cold against, you know. So we like both the defenses as well. But did you see your guy on that screen there?
Well, Khalil Shakir, Najee Harris.
Come on.
Najee Harris, yeah. Well, the reason I'm kind of bullish on Najee Harris is also like the under on Mason Rudolph, 170.5. Not sure they can make that low enough. I think, sneaky thing, I wouldn't be shocked if this game gets out of hand. I might see some Kenny Pickett. Just saying. Might be.
We might.
Wouldn't be shocked. Wow. It's not like Mason Rudolph has a strength.
They need to.
The
they need to. I've just said this about this game real quickly. Like, they need to dominate this game. Like, the Bills almost, to your point, the Bills almost lost to Skylar Thompson last year. Came close to missing the playoffs this year. Like, if you're going to be a Super Bowl champion, which is that's their goal this year, you're at home against Mason Rudolph. Like, yeah. The Steelers barely stuck with it. They need to dominate this game.
Yeah. Suspect they're probably going to play with their food and win by three.
Let's not forget the stick man gave them a scare just a few weeks ago.
They really should have lost to the stick man.
All right. The next matchup here, the Eagles traveling to Tampa Bay. And finally, some good outdoor weather here. Eagles favored by 2.5 points. No A.J. Brown in this game. It did open at 45. The total now lands at 43.5. And honestly, Matthew, what's expected to maybe be the closest playoff matchup of the entire wildcard slate.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. No A.J. Brown as well for the Eagles. I like the Buccaneers to cover. I think there's a very good chance they win, and I definitely love them to cover in this game as well. The Eagles are just so beat up. It's going to be interesting. Like, this is going to be a referendum on both Jalen Hurts. Can he play through it, and can he lead a team to victory, you know, without A.J. Brown and Baker Mayfield? It's a referendum on Baker Mayfield, who's had this unbelievable game. You see some of our picks there as well. Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert again with no A.J. Brown in a game against a Buccaneer secondary that struggled this year. We like the Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans stack as well. No team in the NFL has given up more fantasy points to wide receivers than the Philadelphia Eagles. So Evans, who has the second most yards and second most touchdowns, the Eagles have allowed the second most touchdowns and yards to the position as well. We like Mike Evans as well. And, you know, how about Rashad White? 23 yep. touches in five of the past six.
Yep. I think this is a really good live betting game because I just want to see what Baker Mayfield looks like the first three plays. Because if he's, like, connecting on deep balls and looks perfectly healthy, then 233.5 is too low against this Eagles defense or his passing prop. But he looked really bad against Carolina, so I just need to see what the ankle and the ribs look like.
Yeah, ooh, it feels like that. These teams have been limping in to the postseason so far, so we'll see what's left of them after having a little bit of extra time to rest. Let's take our last break. When we're back, we got last call. Of course, we got our best bets for the Monday Night Football slate coming up right after this.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook, this NFL playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly, plus all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It is time for last call. Let's take a look at the most bet Monday Night Football props, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings. Josh Allen passing touchdowns over 1.5. Josh Allen alternate passing yards 200+. Wow, really bold bets there from the public. Najee Harris rushing yards over 61.5. Najee Harris alternate rushing yards 50+. Jay, are you infiltrating the board here? And then Josh Allen alternate rushing yards 25+. I believe his actual rushing number is set closer to 50 to 60. Jay, what do you like going into the doubleheader tonight?
So going with the night game, going with your former man, Jalen Hurts, to throw an interception, at least one interception at minus 110. He's thrown an interception in four straight games. And here's the thing. No quarterback threw more interceptions against the blitz this season than Jalen Hurts. Tampa Bay blitz 40% of the time. Only two teams blitz more than Tampa Bay. No A.J. Brown. Hurts throws downfield a ton. Antoine Winfield around. I think he throws at least one in a discombobulated offense.
For me, I'm pulling it up here because I literally just bet it. I'm gonna parlay. It's gonna be Chris Godwin again. We know that Philadelphia struggles against the slot, right? They give up the most yards to slot receivers in the NFL. So Chris Godwin over 54.5 and over 4.5 receptions. I'm parlaying it together. That's at plus money. It's at plus 118. Parlaying those together. The juice isn't great on the receptions, but yeah, I think they're gonna have to throw against Philadelphia. And so Chris Godwin should be a big part of that.
Yep, that ties in as well. If Baker's not fully right, shorter stuff, slot stuff, Godwin.
All right, guys, I guess I'll dissect the mess that is Buffalo-Pittsburgh in this
dive
one.
In.
Ty Johnson alt-rushing over 16.5 yards. It's plus 140. No Leonard Fournette. He's not going to be active for this game. Okay. Ty Johnson is out of concussion protocol. The last 6 weeks of the season when he was involved, he was crushing this every single time. There will be a lot of running in this game. He just had to be healthy. Now that he's out of concussion protocol, I like him over that number.
You're a sick
like
man. Sick man, Connor Rogers. Ty Johnson, Olsen at overs. Yeah, unbelievable.
It's a thrill.
It truly is.
I'm gonna bet that as soon as we're off
air. Good number.
Yeah, I love that. 40? Absolutely love that. I also think, by the way, just as I was looking at lines, like I said, I wouldn't mind buying the betting the Bucks money line. I definitely think the Bucks cover, and I would bet the under on the Bills Steelers game tonight.
For sure.
I think that's a game where Pittsburgh's only, if you like the Steelers, it's like a same game parlay thing of Najee over, total under, because I think they're only going to win or cover if they're running the ball and doing it effectively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get my man Najee involved.
There you go.
One last parlay for 2020.
One last time around the rodeo for Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. So
I wanted to go with the rushing attempts, and they're so sky high on the board that you can't even touch
yeah,
them. They expect Najee to basically get the ball every other play in this game.
So we will be back here tomorrow to break all that down. So it's closing time, which means you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Jay and Connor, I'm Matthew Berry. We will see you tomorrow. Peace out!
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.